Well, we cross over to the Philippines, and joining us on the line, we have Mark Batak. He manages the programs for the Initiatives for International Dialogue, and we talk about the so-called Tarab Bill that is causing quite a bit of controversy in Philippines. Mark, we thank you for your time. Good morning. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good afternoon from the Philippines. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this Tarab Bill. We understand it's causing more terror than anything in Philippines.
So let me provide a context on this. So this was passed early this June, first week. This has been in Congress, filed in Congress for a few months already. But since we are in the middle of the pandemic, everyone is focused and distracted. They were able to railroad the bill. So now it's just waiting for the signature of Congress. So there are a few things that are controversial with this upcoming law. Before, when you describe or define or declare an organization or an individual as terrorist, you have to go to the courts to have them declared officially as a terrorist individual or a group. And if you want to detain or arrest or surveil an organization or individual said of terrorism, you have to go to the court and prove probable cause. In this new law, what it does is it transfers the power to the executive to primarily right now composed of ex-generals. So the people who will enforce the law will be the ones to define whether or not you are a terrorist, if there's probable cause, if there's enough basis to detain you, arrest you, and all. So that is where a lot of fears are coming from, because 4 years under this new administration, under President Duterte, a lot of organizations, a lot of individuals have been tagged as so-called terrorists, communists. So this is something that is worrisome for a lot of individuals. So that is the nutshell of the controversy right now. Right now, it's just waiting for signature of the president. It's just 10 days, 9 days to that we are waiting for the president to act on it. If he does not act on it, if he does not veto it or sign it, it will automatically become a law on July 9.
Now, due to a long history of discrimination, the Moro and the Muslim minorities in Philippines are often affected not only by terrorist attacks, but also by the harassment and warrantless arrest packages, counter-terrorism. Will Muslims now be caught in the middle again if this passes?
I think there is basis to say so, because, as you know, in post 9/11, in September 11, when the global war on terror was waged by a lot of countries in ally with the United States, the Philippines was one of that waged a war on terror in the Philippines. And under the previous or the existing anti-terrorism law, the ones who were primarily targeted by counter-terrorism, anti-terrorism cases were Muslims and Moros, because they fit basically the profile that is defined as what a terrorist looks like. So there's a lot of multiple cases that were filed under the existing law, which is already a little bit better than this current law. So there's basis to believe that they will again be targeted by this law. And right now, as probably some of the viewers know, in the southern Philippines, we are undergoing a transition. We've just signed a peace process agreement between the one armed group, Moro Islamic Liberation Front, and the government. So there's a transition, there's gain, but then the military seems to be distracted, and they seem to be thinking that because the Islamic State, so-called Islamic State, they said is not gaining ground, losing ground in Syria and Iran. There's a lot of theories that Southeast Asia will become the next frontier of terrorism, and they're looking at, they see that the Philippines will be the next. And in 2017, we've seen that where there was a battle between an IA, ISIS affiliated local terrorist group. And that is being used by the military and the government to justify this law. But we say that there is no basis for that, because there is no basis for a real relationship between the local terrorist group or the low armed groups in the Philippines and the IS. They said they are inspired, but there's no evidence to show that they are indeed funded, that there's technical support and whatnot. And more than that, we always argue that it is the peace process, it is the ongoing peace talks and peace negotiations and the transition, because we now have a regional government installed just last year, that it is more effective in insulating southern Philippines from any terrorist group from taking root. So definitely, again, with this more draconian terrorism bill, terrorism law, Moros and Muslims, Moros we call that because they are the Muslims in the southern Philippines, they will be definitely unfairly and evenly targeted by this law.
Before I let you go, Mark, a very quick update on the COVID situation in Philippines.
As of today, as of last night, the cases are around 600 confirmed cases per day. But it plays around in the past several weeks, the average plays around from 600 to as high as 1,200 or 1,400. So before the government lifted the enhanced community quarantine, that's what they call the more aggressive lockdown, the cases was at around 300 to 500 cases per day. So in starting June, they opened up a little bit the country, and suddenly the cases again shot up. We are struggling right now in containing the virus. The government seems to have a little bit given up, or at least just passed on the buck to the private sector, the individuals, to take care of themselves. So there's not a lot. There's a lot of problems with contact tracing, with the capacity, really. So yes, when we say that we are worried about the anti-terrorism law, we are equally also, of course, worried about the virus. But what we say is this is actually connected, because the government is saying that because of the crisis that the pandemic will cause, they say that the terrorist group will use this narrative for recruitment, for radicalization. And this is something that has no basis at all. What we see here is they are using this distraction that is happening right now in the pandemic to fast track this law, because they know that without this pandemic, people will really protest. And we've seen that even within the lockdown, a lot of organizations and people have protested against the bill.
Mark Patak, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.